In the beginning, God created. Where is that quote from? Is it at the beginning of creation in Genesis 1, verse 1? Or is it at the beginning of Christmas in John's Gospel 1, verse 1? Genesis says, in the beginning, God created. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. John is saying the exact same thing. In the beginning, God. And what's the very next thing John says is everything was created through him. Everything that was made. I think John intends us to see that it's the very same idea, except he clearly points to Christ. In the beginning, Jesus created. What a powerful message for us at the beginning of Christmas. We're intended to see that this was God's plan from the very beginning of creation, his plan of recreation and redemption. After creation, man sinned, and in the fall, what did man do? They ran from God and hid. And God pursued. And God himself went looking for Adam and Eve in the garden. And God himself initiated salvation. That's the message of Christmas. God so loved that he sent his son into the world. Christ, born in a manger. I love nativity scenes. When our kids were little, we had these little plastic ones that they could play with, and they would be, you know, my son, the shepherds, would be smashing the wise men, his sisters, and it was all this big crash and burn. But we would read the Bible story, and we would act it out, and we would talk about it. And I remember one year we were living in London, England, when I was studying there for a year, and we didn't have our nativity set. So we acted it out, put some towels on the kids' heads, had a little flashlight, one of those little mini ones that was the star, and we worked through the story. What is this all about? It's God's redemption. God comes into our world. The Creator becomes a man and enters our world to initiate salvation for us, for his people. This is the message, the Word of God, Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. There are four New Testament books that are called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I love choosing one of the Gospels at Christmas and then just working through it. And then if possible, we'll use that same Gospel at Easter. Matthew begins with the birth of Jesus. We know Matthew. Last Christmas, we looked through the genealogy of Matthew. Remember, he goes back. He begins with the birth of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, the first book of the New Testament. And he goes back to Abraham in his genealogy. Luke is the same. Luke begins with Jesus' birth in the famous Luke 2 passage that most of us will read at Christmas Day. But Luke goes back even further. He goes back to the beginning of humanity. He goes back in his genealogy right to Adam. God's plan with humanity from the beginning. The Gospel of Mark starts with these words. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But then Mark jumps ahead to the baptism of Jesus. And Mark has a really strong purpose for this because at the baptism, his father declares to Jesus from heaven, to his son who is on the earth, this is my beloved son. The message of Christmas. God, come into our world. But the Gospel of John goes back even further than all of the other Gospels. John starts at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Over these 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas Day, we are going to be looking at the Gospel of John, most specifically chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. So 18 verses over 4 Sundays. This morning, we are just looking at the first three verses, very well known, but to understand and pray that God would give light to our hearts and our minds and transform us with this gospel message this Christmas in these very moments. Would you pray with me? Father of mercy, have mercy on your people. God of comfort, comfort your people. Like Isaiah the prophet says, speak tenderly to your people. Father, I pray that this Christmas you will fill our hearts with the joy of your salvation. We come to you, and before we open this word, I pray, Lord, that you will do this wonderful work. I pray that for some who will attend our services over the Christmas season, that for some, they would know you and they would come to faith and experience the joy of your salvation this Christmas in 2019. And for others, those who know your salvation, who know this wonderful story, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Let it strengthen our faith, that we as well would know in a fresh and new and living way the joy of your salvation. As we come to your word, open our eyes to see, open our minds to understand, and our hearts to believe, and our will to act, to submit and declare, Jesus is Lord. Reveal your word, Jesus, to us this morning, so that we will walk in worship and love and the wonder of our salvation. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John. If you don't have your Bibles, we have pew Bibles available for you. But I want to encourage you again, bring your Bible. You want to know your Bible and understand these words and look carefully. We want to hear what God would say to us. I want to read all 18 verses, even though this morning we will only look at the first three. The Gospel of John, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. And the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side, He has made him known. In the beginning, how incredibly intentional of the Apostle John to write these words. In John 1, verse 1, it would have struck the Jewish mind with the full force of all that they believed. The Jewish Bible begins with Genesis as well. And in fact, the Jewish name is just simply in the beginning. The very first words of the book of Genesis, and they would have understood what John is doing. It's not by mistake. He starts the very same way he intended for his hearers to make the connection that Jesus is the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was the Creator. He is emphasizing that it all starts with God. And what a wonderful place for us to start at Christmas, isn't it? Christmas begins with God. The message of Christmas is what we could not do for ourselves, God did in sending his Son into the world. And we will get there at the end in Romans chapter 8. God began his purpose in sending his Son. Just like Genesis starts at the beginning and immediately jumps into creation, God spoke his word in Genesis and everything came into being. John does the exact same thing in his New Testament gospel. And the very first message of these words in John 1 verse 1 is that John wants us to see by the Holy Spirit this Christmas the God-Word connection. From John 1, we can clearly see that the Word is Jesus. Look with me at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John wants us to see this God-Word connection. You can see it in verse 1 and 2 that he clearly is saying that it is not just a message, even though it is the message of God. We know this from Hebrews chapter 1. Just listen to these words as I read in Hebrews 1. Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. The word, the message of God, fully proclaiming who God is in Jesus' incarnation. The word, the message becoming flesh. But John wants us to see more than just the message. Look in verse 1 and 2. He is very clearly describing Jesus as personhood, coexisting in the presence of God. He says it twice in verse 1. And the word was with God. Again in verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. You can see all the pronouns. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him is nothing made that was made. In him, verse 4, was life. John wants us to see the personhood of Jesus as the Son of God. We can read it in verse 14. And this word became flesh and dwelt among us. A physical person who could live among us. And we have seen his glory. It's not just a divine message. It is a person who lives among us and we see his glory. And what kind of glory in verse 14? As of the only Son from the Father. The very first thing that we see in Christmas is who Jesus is, his identity. That Jesus is the Son of God. He is the message of God, fully revealing God. We know that because if you go down to the end of verse 14, it says, from the Father. He is the Son who has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through who? Through Jesus Christ. The Word is Jesus. And then verse 18, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. Jesus, the God-man, the Son, who is at the Father's side. In verse 18, it's unmistakably clear. That's why in verse 1 and 2, John makes such a big deal. Who is it that is at the Father's side? It is Jesus. The Word was with God in verse 1. He was in the beginning with God. And the very first thing John does is he presents Jesus in the place where only God is. In the beginning, Jesus is eternal, without beginning. He coexisted with God eternally. We go back as far as we can see, and God existed. We go back as far as we can see, and the Word, Jesus, existed. He was with God in the beginning, eternal. But He is also equal. You can see it in verse 1. And the Word was God. There's no other way to translate these verses. In fact, the very first time, these words are 2,000 years old, and the very first time that I can tell that they were translated, the Word was a God, was about 250 years ago. Before that, it was absolutely clear. All those scholars would agree that all biblical scholarship would agree this is the only way you can translate it. The Word was God. I can talk to you about it after the service in the Greek. It's the predicate nominative. That means it's the verb to be, the verb that He is. It's predicating something about God. It's unmistakably clear in the Greek. D.A. Carson explains that any honest, faithful scholar will see that this is the only way it can be translated. Jesus is God. Where John begins with the Christmas message. Equal with God before creation. He existed before the world existed. And John will get there in his gospel. In John 17, Jesus is praying and he says to his Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. That's why in 1 verse 14 here in John, He has the glory from God that is only the glory of the Son of God. John's first statement is that Jesus existed eternally before creation, and He existed equally as God. By the time we come to verse 18, on December 22nd, there is absolutely no other way to understand it. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. It's not the Father he's talking about. It is the Word, Christ, the one who we receive grace and truth. He, the Son, Jesus, has made Him known to us. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, Jesus. And we know that's John's purpose because he quickly picks up these same verses and themes as the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, we have this great theme of life. God breathes into them the breath of life. And there was light and there was darkness. In Genesis, it immediately describes the earth as formless and void of life. And darkness was over the surface of the deep. John wants us to see that very same thing. These themes come from the very first verses of the Bible, and John wants us to see that Jesus, the co-creator, God Himself, the Son, is in the place where only God is, before creation, equal and eternal. And I already mentioned it, but John presents Jesus in a role that only God has. In verse 3, John reveals Jesus as the creator. And this is John's commentary on Genesis 1. He puts Jesus in the place where only God is, in the creation of all things. Look how absolute it is in verse 3. All things that came into being. And apart from him, without him, was not anything made that was made. For those who translate this text to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and where they mistranslate it, and the Word was a God, they followed up with an ideology that is false doctrine that says Jesus was the first created thing, and then he took over and he created everything else after that. But verse 3 makes this impossible. Then Jesus would have to be included in the things that were made. Verse 3 says, anything that was made, out of everything that was made, Jesus was the creator. He could not be made. He could not be the one who made everything out of everything that was made, because he was not made. He existed, like John 17, before the world began. This earthly Jesus, carpenter, in his shop, working with wood and stone, a lot of their construction and carpentry. If you go to Israel, you know most of it were homes built with stone, and they built furniture and they built roofs with wood. But it, all the things Jesus touched physically as a man, he created. The earthly Jesus who touched and healed the blind man and fixed a body that had gone awry is the very God who created that body. The earthly Jesus who walked on water, commanded the sea to be still, created that sea. Genesis says, in the beginning, God created. John 1, verse 3 says, nothing was made without Jesus. John is saying that in the beginning, Jesus created. He is teaching us without doubt that Jesus is God in creation. Why is he making such a big deal about this? Why does this matter so significantly at Christmas? We finished our three verses. Because in the rest of these verses, as we move towards Christmas, we will see that God has three purposes from the very beginning. First, to create humanity. And then to reveal himself to his creation. And then to redeem his creation. That's where John will take us in the remaining weeks to Christmas. And this is where Christmas starts, in the beginning. This was God's plan all along. And unfolding all the way down through history, God enters our world to redeem his people. Listen again to Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. He is God. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. He is God who purifies his people from their sins. God alone can redeem us. In Hebrews 1, Jesus is God who redeems us. Colossians says the very same thing. Listen to the words of Colossians chapter 1 in verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And he is going to say in verse 18, he is the firstborn from the dead. That's what he means here, that he is eminence, preeminence over all, the firstborn who came from the grave. For by him all things were created. Not just the material world. All things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. He is God who redeems. The message of Galatians 4 is exactly the same. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. This is Christmas. God sends forth his Son, Galatians 4, verse 4. Born of a woman, born under the law, and here it is, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And then the most wonderful Christmas verses of all. In Romans chapter 8. What the law could not do, as weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his Son in the flesh. The Word became flesh. In Romans 8, it is the most wonderful verses in the Bible. And I probably say that about every passage, but I really mean it this morning with Christmas. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For God has done. It begins with God. God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. And here it is, the word, the message of Christmas, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. There is condemnation in these verses. But it is not for those who are in Christ. It is the one who came in the flesh, perfect, to do what we could not do in the flesh. The Word, God himself, perfect without sin, Hebrews says, a man just like us, yet without sin. So that he might become sin for us. And then we come back to John chapter 1. Twice in verse 1 and 2, it says the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 14, the Word is with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt what? Among us. And why does this matter in John's gospel? Because by the time he gets to verse 29, John the Baptist recognizes Jesus. The next day he saw Jesus come to him. This is still in chapter 1. And he said, what do you expect him to say? Behold the Son of God. What does John say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Redemption. Oh, the wonderful redemption. No condemnation, because the Lamb of God is condemned on our behalf. This is where Christmas begins. In the beginning, this was God's plan all along. May this Christmas bring the light of salvation to all of our hearts, to those that don't have faith. I call you to faith. By the time we get to verse 12, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. In chapter 1, verse 12. And to those who know this message, I pray that it will come to our hearts in a fresh and living way, and that we will know the joy of our salvation. Will you pray with me? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Father, bring these words and this truth to our hearts at the beginning of Christmas this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.